Session number 8327.
Mr. Barrow, tape three. Do you think, Mr. Barrow, that had the troops been given proper lifeboat and lifebelt training, that more lives would have been
saved?
I rather
fancy it would. Yes. Yes, I think it should, Joe. And of course, really, you see, when you're in dangerous water, I think you should be more or less, the lifebelt should be part of you. Although it wasn't so ever. Because with another account, when we were coming from Egypt to France, I don't know if I ever saw a lifebelt. Chests, I should think, these lifebelts. You'd have to line up for them and all that game. You should have had one, especially in the Mediterranean, coming from Egypt to France.
Oh, yeah. Yes, because what has impressed me very much with your description is the speed with which this ship went down.
Yes. Aye. It must have blown the bottom out of her nearly. It must have done that. The engines had blown the sides out or something nearly.
That really indicates that you needed very strict training to behave automatically.
Yes.
As you say, to have your life belt always at hand.
Yes. Are you married? Have you a family? A rather naughty joke. Very much so. And it was an account of the sinking of the Royal Edmund by the captain of the U-boat. And his wife was pregnant. And he had a friend who was, a wireless operator or something like that. And I think it was in Frederikshavn. Or what's the other place? One of those German ports. Bremen Harbour. Mm. Possibly one of those, either Frederikshavn or Bremen. And the submarine commander asked him to let him know by wireless or whatever it was when the birth occurred to his wife. And this is the message he got. Hold on. He says, arrive today with periscope. It was a boy.
Who told you that?
I think it was in the book I read of the German commander who sank the boat. Yes.
Could you tell me now about your actual rescue, when you were rescued by the ship? Can you remember the name of the rescue ship?
The Sudan, HMS Sudan, hospital boat.
Did you see it in the distance?
No, I never saw it till it came up with us. We must have been looking the other way, I should think. And so we rowed to it, we did, and just clambered up the side And I think they might have put a boat or two down to go round and pick up any oddments, you know, through the davits, let them down and rescue them that way. But I don't think you must look at the. You'll get a better idea when you see these photographs of the people on the Sudan that had been rescued.
Did you make a pitiful group, the survivors? How many of you were there?
Oh, I don't know, I'm sure. There would be 100 or two, of course.
And have you any idea how many were lost?
Well, they said 700 or 800. Yes.
Were you well cared for?
Oh, yes, yes, all right, yes.
What did they do for you? I know you've mentioned
on the boat,
your friend.
Well, I don't know. The nurses came round and gave me some bubbles or tea or something. I suppose we got some grub. We'd be on it, wouldn't we, for a day, perhaps a couple of days, I suppose. Must have been to get back to Alexandra, I suppose. I don't know how far we were off Alexandra.
Had you lost all your possessions?
Yes, everything. Everything but a 10-bob note. Yes, I lost everything.
Did that upset you at all?
No, not especially. No. No, we weren't too bothered. No, we were sorry that I lost my friends, this Simpson. Who was the other one? I forget who the other chap got rescued, I think. One chap couldn't swim, a chap named Hopper. He must have got to this boat before me. The boat was a detail for, he said he just sat in this boat and it floated off. They must have cut the davits. The davit ropes and it just floated off. Never even got wet.
Were there any amusing stories to do with this incident? I know it's a very grim happening, but sometimes funny things can come out of this.
No, I don't think so. No. I wish I could remember this doctor's name, this particular one.
What was his significance, this doctor? What did he do?
Well, he was a doctor in the suburb of Manchester, where I live very near to him, and my niece, that she was a receptionist to him. And one day, a fellow went into the surgery who was on the Royal Edward, and I think he was the man who got onto the keel of this boat after me. And he was a patient of this doctor. Damn it, Uncle Donald, I perhaps will remember it. And they got chatting, and I think they more or less said, well, did you ever know a chap named Barrow? You see, and of course it turns out that my niece picked up her ears about this and said, oh, well, Mr. Barrow's my uncle. And I think he was this chap who clambered onto this boat, but I couldn't remember his name, but I ought to remember that doctor's name.
Not to worry now, then.
Aye.
So where did they take you then? To Alexandria?
To Alexandria.
Yes, and what did you actually do there? What did they re-equip
you? We got to a camp there at Sidibish or Sidigabba. I got re-equipped, you know, uniforms, and I forget when we got there, where we got them from, these uniforms. I don't know where. Or whether we stayed on the ship and they brought some uniforms to us. They couldn't go just walking through in shorts. Could be very well. I should think they brought some uniforms on. And then we got properly equipped, medically examined. And I suppose we were all right for taking back again then. Which, of course, seemed to occur very quickly.
So where were you taken to then?
We'd be taken to Gallipoli. As far as I can remember, yes. Now I remember that doctor's name, Dr. Dugdale.
Dr. Dugdale, yes?
Dugdale,
yes. Oh.
And the man, I think, was a man named Helliwell. Well, it's...
There, you see. Memory, yeah. It came to you in the night, I expect.
Sometime or other.
Yes. Well, now I'd like to go on to Gallipoli. You were kitted out at Alexandria, is that right? Then did you go to Mudros, or did you go straight to Gallipoli?
Oh, now that's a question. I should think we'd go to Mudros first, and then come over to the River Clyde in a smaller boat.
Can you remember that journey to the River Clyde, the sort of boat you were in?
No, I can't remember it very special. There was nothing extraordinary about it. I think we just went to the Clyde and went through it, you know. There was a piece cut out of the side and right onto the beach.
Was that rather strange, landing through a boat like that?
Yeah, it was rather, yeah. With this hole in the side, you know. It was beached, of course, and I suppose... there'd have to be some sort of staging or... a jetty built, and I think there could have been a jetty sort of built alongside.
Can you remember your impressions when you landed? First of all, what time of day would it have been when you arrived at
Gleadby? I must think about that. I think it would be night time, because we could see little fires in the cliffside where the troops were perhaps brewing up or something. Rather picturesque.
Was it?
Yes, to see these lights as we got to River Clyde. I don't think the water would be deep enough at the, perhaps at the River Clyde. But there was one incident, though, that had occurred before ever I got there. There were three cruisers that had been sunk, of our cruisers. And the names were the Triumph, the Goliath, and the Majestic. And I think it was that at low tide, somewhere in the vicinity of the Clyde, the whole of the, I think it was the Triumph, the whole was visible above the water, where it had sunk and then capsized. I suppose it tried to run it aground and it had gone over.
Did you see that yourself?
Yes, I have seen it there.
So could you tell me now about your landing? You were saying you saw the little fires that mm-hmm. where the troops mm-hmm. were brewing up. Mm-hmm. What else impressed you about that particular area, the River Clyde, on Helles?
I don't think very much, really. It's rather land like this, you know, the cliff at the Helles. Not quite as high, but very similar to this bay.
Would it have had sort of the greenery, the heather and the shrubs
on it? More shrub, you know, more... coarse shrub land, very poor land, I should think. Of course, in summer it would be very parched.
So what did you do that first night when you landed? Can you remember your initial movements?
No, I can remember it the first day. I don't know whether we slept at all, the troops on the Clyde, or where it was, or... It might have been a bit of a camp there where we just settled in for the night, maybe. But the next day, of course, we were directed to whatever destinations were required, really, like the, probably, drafts to the Lancashire Fusiliers and the Manchesters. They went to their bases and I went up to the base of the... RMC transport in the middle of the peninsula, up below, between Achibaba and Cape Helles.
And what division were you attached to?
Well, the 42nd Division all the time. And then it was just a small section of the transport to the field ambulance people who were had advanced dressing stations and little hospitals.
So could you tell me about your movement up to your position? Would this have been fairly near the front line at Helles, do you
Well,
think?
It would be. It would have been rifle fire, anyway, most of the time.
Could you see Achibaba?
Oh, yes, yes. It was stuck up in front of us, you know. But the we weren't in much danger, except when we went to Pink Farm. You know, that was on the map, wasn't it, Pink Farm? We used to go there quite frequently for water. And we'd take a water cart, you know, to Pink Farm and fill it, get it filled up with water, take it back to wherever we had to go.
Was there a well there then?
I think there must have been, yes. Quite a good supply of water. Quite a supply, because we got enough. I don't know whether there were any, I don't know, there weren't any troughs for horses, though, not at that spot. There must have been somewhere.
Why was it called Pink Farm?
I don't know.
Was there anything pink about it?
I should think so. I should think at one time when it was, before it had been knocked about, I think it was, I was going to say whitewashed pink, coloured washed pink, I should think. And that's what it's got the name, because it's quite English, isn't it? Pink. Doesn't sound Arabic or any Turkish or anything.
Would you have seen the town of Krithia at this time while you were in
No,
that area?
I don't think so. I don't think we could see it, really.
Did Did you know anything about the various battles for Krithia? Did you hear about while you were there?
No, not very much, really. No.
Well, what sort of action was there in that position, you know, near Achibaba on Helles, in the central position, while you were there? What sort of warfare was it?
Well, there wasn't very much warfare there when I was there. I think the troops were about played out, really. And I don't think there was any great action. But prior to it, probably towards the end of July, beginning of August, something like that, there was a lot of action and there'd be a lot of casualties. And I think that's why all these drafts, like on the Edward, were reinforcing the casualties. And there was always illness, you know.
Yes, I'm going to ask you about that later on. Did you see any evidence of the casualties? Were there lots of graves about?
Oh,
or even
yes,
bodies?
Not a great lot, you know, not a lot of graves. Not like the European War. No, a few buried here and there, you know. But it wasn't such a savage war as the French War, you know. It was mostly, of course, the bayonet charges and rifles, but not much heavy artillery, although the famous battleship, the Queen Mary, I think, 16-inch shells, you know, used to fire from out at sea, and you could see the Prince of Wales feathers almost going up on the Achibaba, but I think it was too dangerous for a ship of the calibre of the Elizabeth to be hanging about too long, especially after these cruisers had been torpedoed.
Were you yourself in danger in that central position of Turkish enfilade fire or sniping?
Aye, very little danger. Bit of shell fire from Shinak, you know. But in the main, it's pretty quiet. But the shellers were sometimes at Pink Farm when two men had got round from various units getting the water. There'd be quite a number of, well, I don't know, I suppose, 10 or 15 wagons round somewhere in the vicinity.
Yes. Could you tell me, when you went up to your position near the front, what did you have to take up with you in the way of horses and wagons and other equipment? Could you describe the sort of outfit went up to that position?
Well, it was already there.
Was it?
Oh, yes, a GS wagon and a water cart, a limber.
What is a limber?
A limber is a two-piece cart, you might say, that you can detach one half of it and make a very small cart, you could say, just about, probably the limb was about this square, attached to a pair of horses and mules could draw it in comfort, really. But sometimes we use them.
How about the field ambulance? Did you have any equipment in that position?
No, very, very little, practically none, with no reason for it, really. We might have had a bit of a extra dressings or something like that in a bit of a stores. But we're a very small unit, you know. I was trying to think how many of us. Very, very small, really, probably. I should think 20 or 30 men at the most. Because that was just one section. There'd be three of those sections. One to each brigade would have its own little section of transport, and they'd also have their own units of RAMC, that was the casualty department of the RAMC, and the doctors, and the dressing station.
So how did you fit in with the RAMC and the dressing station?
Oh, well,
what was your sort of role in that respect?
Well, we were very, very close. We just got orders from the officer in charge of us what to do, go to such and such a place, or report at the dressing station or go down to the Cape Ellis for stores, fodder and oddments like that, taking perhaps sick people down. General duties, really. Not very arduous, but pestered to death with flies, you know.
Yes, I'm going to ask you a bit later about the living conditions.
Yeah.
Yes, when you took sick people about in your... would it be in a wagon you transported them in?
In an ambulance.
In an ambulance?
Yes.
What was the ambulance like? Could you give me some idea of how it was constructed and how the people were put inside?
Yes, well...
The degree of comfort.
I suppose you'd have an orderly, RMC orderly. He was a sick berth, you'd call him, man. You'd have perhaps one or two of those, it depends. But we hadn't many casualties, you know, from August onwards. They were mostly sick people. But there were an awful lot of casualties at Suvla Bay. That was round the bend, you know, Suvla was. I didn't know much about Suvla, but... It'll tell you on the map, I said, thing on your map, would it be?
Oh, Suvla? Yes, we do know about, but you didn't hear much about that
at the time.
No.
The first intimation we had of it was on this ship that rescued us, this hospital ship, which was crowded out with wounded from Suvla Bay.
That's at the time of the evacuation, you mean?
No, the time, it would be the time... In August sometime, or early July, when the Australians and New Zealand were doing all the attacking at Suvla Bay and in that area, and the casualties, they'd be brought down from Suvla Bay and put on small ships that went out to the hospital boat that was lying. We could see it at night, lit up in all Red Cross. So there were practically all the casualties then were at Suvla, very little on our section at all.
And you actually saw those casualties, did you,
on the hospital? Only on the ship.
Yes. Yeah. Why were you on the ship then?
Pardon?
When were you on that hospital ship?
When the one that rescued us, the Sudan.
Oh, I see. That was actually the one with these casualties on.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that must have given you some sort of taste of Gallipoli.
Oh, aye, by Jove, rather.
Did it put you off a bit? Were you...
Well, it wasn't a pretty sight. I went round the wards looking for my friend Bob Cubbin. And there were piles of blood-stained bandages and wads of stuff piled high in the wards where they'd operated on these fellas.
Did you see the men yourself, the casualties?
Only one, particularly, who was in the same little bay as my friend eventually, and I think he'd been wounded in the spine somewhere. He couldn't move very well. Nice young fellow.
Yes. Well, going back now to your central position on Helles, mm-hmm. Looking at Chibaba, mm-hmm. You were saying about these wagons and your job of transporting perhaps sick people and stores. Now, would these have been pulled by horses or mules?
Oh, yes, horses and mules.
Both?
Either. You had perhaps a team of mules, perhaps for the lighter wagons maybe, or heavier horses for the heavier vehicles. But they were very good, the mules. They were big mules, actually. Yeah.
Were they better than horses, do you think? More suitable than horses?
Well, I think they're a bit tougher, you know. A bit tougher. Nice animals. Very nice, comfortable to ride. You know, they lope, they don't, you know. Horses are more that way, you know. Well, but we had to put muzzles on them to stop them grumbling and messing about, getting bits of stuff and eating the sand, you know.
Was it a problem? problem with fodder for the animals? Did you manage to get enough?
Oh, yes, I think so. It was probably all dried stuff. A lot of dried fodder, I think, which we used to tempt the particular animals. Perhaps we'd damp it down with water, something like that. That was particularly so on the desert. It was all dried fodder there.
Yes, I must ask you a bit about that later on. Mm. Yes, you were saying earlier on that, you know, your first impression of Gallipoli was a little like your local scenery here, which of course is northwest Wales, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just south of Snowdonia.
Mm, Midwest, they call it.
Yeah. Mm. Well, what did you know? What sort of countryside was it to operate in? Could you give us some idea of its character?
Very, very bare country, you know. Flat when you got to the top of the hills weren't as high as these at the coast. No, not high at all. And very bare, flat country on the top. Nothing much would grow on it, I don't think. Very barren.
Was there ever any beauty to be seen on Gallipoli?
No.
Were you ever conscious of it looking
so
good?
I don't think so. Only the sea and beautiful sunsets, you know. There's nothing beautiful about it. No, I shouldn't say so, but fantastic lightning storms at times, you know.